Brigadier Clabby, reel 6. In the 30s, whilst you were in India, did you see any evidence of political activity by Indians? Such as demonstrations?
There were a few riots in Peshawar, I remember, and the troops were turned out. I don't know how well they were, obviously political, but riots in places like Peshawar are almost sort of a natural routine, you might say. I don't think they are notably anti-British. And can't remember any in Quetta. Karachi was the worst place for that sort of thing, but I was never sort of serving there. So, not unduly. No sort of real sort of political demonstrations or anything of that nature.
Did you witness this rioting in Peshawar?
No, not personally.
What did you and the other officers think about the Congress Party?
Baboos, I think, you know, the sort of fearsome word which really covered everything. Sort of rather obnoxious little men in round hats who probably sort of ran away if you sort of stamped loudly. You did not regard them with any great respect.
But you didn't come across them personally?
No.
What did you think about the Indian political leaders, like Gandhi?
One rather belittled him, I'm afraid. One didn't appreciate his status or what he could do, and you regarded him as really rather a nuisance and a nonsense. And this wasn't just the British attitude, this was also what you might call the Indian military caste attitude. Again, thinking in terms of a Babu, it was disrespect more than anything.
You mean that was also the attitude of the Indian soldier?
Yeah. Yes.
Did you think he was a sincere man or not?
Gandhi?
I mean, at the time, what did you think?
At the time, one just didn't take him seriously. Regarded him more as a nuisance than a sort of serious sort of thinking man, sort of getting trying to develop a new country. You didn't really respect his, or I didn't respect his philosophy at all. One just thought it rather mistaken.
What, if anything, did you and the other officers think about the Muslim League and Jinnah?
Yes, well, again, you respected him more. Here you're getting on with the military caste business again. Here was a man with sort of clear-cut standards, or so one thought, whom one could respect more. And from this point of view, Jinnah was a far more acceptable person than Gandhi.
And what about the question of the Indian poverty? What did you and the other officers consider at that time to be the causes of Indian poverty?
Yes, well, here again, you see, you're thinking in probably rather urban terms. If you go through Calcutta, it is, I think, one of the most ghastly sights in the world. I don't know if you know Calcutta, but the people strewn on the pavement, they sort of lie there all night and all day. You don't know if they're dead or alive. And here there's the most utter beastliness and squalor. But in the villages, it's a different type of poverty, not very far from removed from the sort of life that one was living oneself with, after all, the same sort of sanitation. They grew their own crops, they kept their own animals. In the top end of India, you didn't get the ghastly famines you get down in Bengal. It was a different country altogether. And I don't honestly think that the British troops in the north of India, ever found the place really poverty-stricken and squalid. What they saw were villages, mostly very self-sufficient, a few buffaloes, and they made their own ghee and grew their own crops. So I don't think there was much thought given to this. The military were more concerned with relieving famine, possibly, when it occurred, than as to why it occurred. You know, you'd, troops would get sent down on famine relief or to help in cases of floods. You weren't really not concerned with the causes that lay behind all this.
In fact, was politics discussed very much at all in the messes, or was it frowned upon?
It was just regarded as totally uninteresting. The mess tradition has always been you never talk about women, religion, or politics. But one talked about women quite cheerfully. But neither religion nor politics were really of the slightest interest to the British officer, as far as I can make out. It was barely mentioned.
What do you think to the allegations that are always made that British rule adopted the policy of divide and rule towards India?
Yes and no. I think really you've got to define that. Regiments, battalions were divided up to a large extent into different religions, Sikh, Hindu, Muslim. And this, I'm told, does go back to the days of the mutiny. So that if you have, a company, one company, Punjabi, Muslim, one Sikh, and one something else, then they'll watch each other. And they won't all gang up together in a mutiny. So to that extent, I suppose you could say, yes, divide and rule. What went on in the political game, I honestly don't know. I've read Mountbatten's memoirs and so on. I suppose to some extent one always attempts to divide and rule. One always attempts to bring people to one's own side, and those who are friendly you adopt, and those who are not you don't. And of course, obviously too, you're dealing with very astute politicians, both on the Congress side and on the Muslim side, and they will use you. To my knowledge, there was no deliberate divide and rule, but I can well see it happening, in fact. And I think it just happened rather than as a matter of policy, I would think.